reading from Jiva Dharma. I forgot the chapter number, but I think we're on Shakti Tattva somehow. Omigyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. I'm going to give a little bit background, and at least if we can discuss, you know, a little bit background of this. And I know I repeat it again, but I'll try to say it like in 2 minutes only. This is a story of devotees coming to Krishna consciousness the generation after Lord Chaitanya. And according to who the person is, they require a different tattva, a different subject to develop faith. We really require all the tattvas, but some require more than others. Like a Brahmin has to have the tattva, you know, a caste Brahmin of, social philosophy and what the Varnashram system is. And a Mayavadi needs the tattva of impersonalism. The materialist needs the tattva of Sankhya, or the difference between the soul and the body. And then as you advance in Krishna consciousness, you require further and further tattvas or subjects to advance in Krishna consciousness. And this is why we hear, this is why we have gurus clearing our doubts. So we're following the stories of various people. Now we're following the story of a logician who, as you remember the story, people were envious of him and he was cursed to, somehow cursed to have his logic fail him or something, because no one could defeat him. But somehow or other, you know, what's a curse and what's a blessing? It depends on what your objective is. What's good karma? What's bad karma? It depends on what your objective is. If your objective is to go back to Godhead, sometimes the worst thing is the best thing. So somehow or other, he does research on Lord Chaitanya, who is also a great scholar in Navadvipa, which was the seat of Navanyaya, of logic. And somehow or other, just by that appreciation of Lord Chaitanya as a logician, somehow or other, by that association, the Bhakti Lata Bija enters his heart, he seeks out the Sangha of devotees, and the curse becomes fulfilled that his logic fails him in terms of understanding the absolute truth. You can't extend to the absolute truth by logic. You can only go there by faith. And faith is not just I have mentioned this many times, I believe or not believe, it's an experience of God through some kind of sense that everyone has within their heart to experience God. So he gets that faith, and the faith matures, and now it's come to the platform of Sadhu Sangha, and he wants to learn in Bhajan Dakriya. He wants to learn about Krishna consciousness. Now he meets a guru, Prem Das Babaji, and all his doubts are being cleared. And now, through this Vrajanath, who's committed to Krishna consciousness, we'll learn all the subjects of Krishna consciousness. And specifically, something that Lord Chaitanya, the essence of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, and this was categorized by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the author, is called Dasamula, the 10 root truths. And somehow, this one truth that he needs to be clarified is what is Shakti. And because impersonalists don't believe they're Shakti, because that would make a differentiation in the absolute truth. And impersonalism means that undifferentiated oneness, there's no Shakti. So his guru explains to him that there's actually Shakti up until the highest platform of reality has Shakti. And he's explaining this. And that's called the Sarup Shakti. And the Sarup Shakti has three divisions. It has Samvit Shakti, sometimes also known as Chit Shakti, but well, that's confusing because that's also the spiritual potency. Now, actually, it has three main Shaktis. It has the internal potency, the Chit Shakti. It has the marginal potency, which is a particle of the Chit Shakti called the Jiva Shakti. And it has a Shakti that's a reflection of the Chit Shakti, or the spiritual potency, which is called the Maya Shakti. And each of these Shaktis are influenced by three other potencies. Ultimately, there's one Shakti. There's a Sarup Shakti. It has divisions, and that's Sri Radha. But it expands into a cognitive potency, which is called Samvit Shakti, a existential Shakti, by which things exist, which is called the Sandini Shakti, and the Ladini Shakti, the thing by which pleasure exists. So he's explaining this very scientifically. Within the Sarup Shakti, the internal potency, the spiritual world, the cognitive Shakti influences it with the various bhavas or moods of devotion that different people have. They know Krishna in different ways, as a son, as a lover, as a friend. And then there's the Sandini Shakti, which manifests as the spiritual world. And then there's the Ladini Shakti, which manifests as love of Godhead, prema bhakti. And when that same three Shaktis are reflected in the Jiva Shakti, then the cognitive, the pleasure potency becomes Brahmananda, the pleasure of understanding a spiritual reality. The cognitive potency, the Samvit Shakti, manifests as Brahmagyan. And the Ladini Shakti manifests as No, and the Sandini Shakti manifests as the existential potency, as Brahman. And when it manifests in the Maya Shakti, the Ladini Shakti manifests as material pleasure. The Samvid Shakti manifests as material knowledge. And the Sandini Shakti manifests as the material world. This is a very scientific, detailed thing. So he asks, now Vrajanath, as the disciple asks, why is Shakti called inconceivable if all the activities can be understood like this? So he says, what we're understanding is they can understand each Shakti in isolation from each other. But when they begin to relate, the relationship between them is inconceivable. And the whole fact that, and then he explains that, it has inconceivable power, and in the spiritual world, mutually opposing qualities exist together. He said, for example, Krishna has the most beautiful form, rupa, but he's also formless, arupa. He has transcendental form, murti, but he's always present everywhere. He's active, but he's not engaged in activities. He's son of Nanda Maharaj, but he's unborn. He's a cowherd boy, but he's worshipped by others. He has human-like form in Baba, although he's omniscient. So he possesses all qualities, Savishesha, and yet he has no qualities, Nirvishesha. He is Achintya, inconceivable, and full of ras. He is both limitless and has limited. He's far away. And then he quotes this so many verses. Then he asks, does the Vedas accept this? Right? You're saying this. Because you can say anything, but it's only authoritative if the Vedas accept this. Does the Vedas accept this? And and then he quotes various verses from the Upanishads, like the Sri Upanishads, Isha Upanishads. The fifth verse says, Tadejati, Tadnaijati, Tadare, Tadantike, Tanatrasya Sarvaja. He walks, he doesn't walk, he's near, he's far. So he explains like this in so many ways, how the Supreme Lord has inconceivable potency. You can understand what the potencies are, but how they act are inconceivable because they're not under the laws of material nature. They're God's potencies. They're not restricted in any way. He does what he wants. That's the very nature of the absolute truth, is inconceivable potency. That's logical. It's logical that God has inconceivable potency. It's logical that God's will, God can do anything. That's conceivable. I remember, she's my god sister. Her name is Samapriya. And she grew up about a block from me when I grew up. And then I found out, you know, she became a devotee. Actually, she's 1 year older than me. I was friends with her brother, Danny. And, you know, somehow or other, her mother, I don't know, went and got back to school and got her PhD. And her mother wound up in Govardhan Hill with them. And we went to Govardhan. I was leading a prikram, and this old Jewish lady was, like, dancing. And then, you know, we told the story of Govardhan Hill. Then someone said, well, do you believe that, right? And then she said, well, if you believe that he's God, he can do anything. So, but then he says, so then Vrajanath asks another question. Is there any description in the Vedas of Bhagavan who's completely independent, appearing in this material world of his own volition? So now, is Bhagavan manifest in this world? Well, you know, God, if we see God's form. And then Babaji, he tells a story from the Vedas. He says it's mentioned in several places. And specifically in the Kenu Upanishads, or the Tullavakara, it relates a dialogue between Uma and Mahendra Shiva, which describes about a battle that took place, Babaji's explained this, between the demigods and the demons. And on this occasion, the demons were heavily defeated and fled from the battlefield. Demigods were victorious, although the victory is actually Bhagavan's alone, and the demigods were only his instruments. But out of pride and ignorance, the demigods forgot this, and they began to boast of their own strength and valor. And at this point, and this is described in the Kenu Upanishads, Param Brahman, Bhagavan, the reservoir, he appeared in wonderful form and inquired what's the cause of their pride. He then produced a straw and asked them to destroy it. The demigods were amazed, for they could not burn it, nor could they lift it, wind lift it. All their potency and process powers, they couldn't destroy it, they couldn't move it. And the devas were astounded to find his beautiful form and wonderful powers. And then that yaksha, who is actually Bhagavan, put a straw in front of Agni Dev and said, "Let us see your strength, and you burn this dry straw." And this is Agni Dev, who's the god of fire. And he went to it, all his powers, he could not burn it. Ashamed, he returned to the demigods and said, "I cannot understand who this yaksha is." And then the Kenu Upanishads 3:6 says, "The confidential purport of the Vedas is that Bhagavan is an inconceivably beautiful person. He appears by his own sweet will and performs various pastimes with the living entity." So there, from the Vedas, there's a story about the form of Bhagavan appearing. Vajranath inquires further. "Bhagavan has been called an ocean of Ras. Is this described anywhere in the Vedas?" Well, then he quotes a famous verse from the Taittiriya Upanishads 2:7, "Yadvai tat supratam rasa vai saha." That's the famous part. "Samhi yevayam labha nandi bhavati kohi yevanyat ka pranyat. Yaresha akasha anandanasyat esha yevanandayati." So this is about rasa. Parabrahman, Paramatma, is the Sukrita Brahma, the very handsome Supreme Spirit. His sarup, his form, is unalloyed rasa. And when the jiva realizes this rasa sarup Brahman, he becomes full of it. Rasa sarup Brahman, rasa, sarup, the supreme rasa. See, the form, the Parabrahman who has the form of love. He becomes full of ananda. Who would endeavor to live if that undivided reality was not the embodiment of ananda in the form of rasa? Paramatma alone gives bliss to all. So, the Taittiriya Upanishads describes that it's full of rasa, that the supreme absolute reality is full of love. And he has a form of that called rasa sarup. Vajranath, if he is rasa sarup, why can't the materialist see him or comprehend him? So if the form of love, if love has a form, which is God, which is Swarup, rasa bhai sahi is this exchange of love, and he has a form, then why can't we see him or comprehend him, materialist? If it's a form, then why can't he be perceived? Let's see what Babaji says. He says there are two types of conditioned jivas, those who have turned away from Krishna, parak, and those who are facing Krishna, patyak. Jivas in the parak state cannot see Krishna's beauty because they oppose to him. They only see and think about material things. So seeing is a matter of consciousness. If you're envious of someone, then you can't see who they are. How many people do we see, and another person sees a different thing? And if the person is great, person has wonderful qualities, and you don't see him, then what is the cause? The cause is you're envious. You don't want to see someone that's better than you. So very much consciousness, perception is a matter of consciousness. So, so those that have turned away from Krishna means are envious of Krishna. They don't see him. Jivas in the pratyak state are opposed to Maya and favorable to Krishna. So they see Krishna's rasa sarupa. It is said in the Tathagata Upanishads, and then a verse is quoted, which will explain this, why some see, why some don't see. Paranchi kani vyat vinat Svayambhush tasmat param pashyati nantarantamam. The self-born Parameshvara has made all the senses so that they tend towards external objects. That is why jivas normally perceive only external objects through the senses and is unable to see Bhagavan situated within his heart. So the senses are limited. You can't hear a dog whistle. You can't see what's beyond the wall. So how can we perceive God by material senses? There's a famous verse. What is that verse? I can't remember that verse. I don't know why. It's such a famous verse. Anyway, it'll probably be quoted for all I know. Only a grave and resolute person, Dhira, who desires liberation in the form of love of Krishna, can disengage his ears and other senses from external objects and see the Pratyag Atma Sri Bhagavan. Vrajanath, who is the one who has been called the embodiment of rasa in the sloka, rasa vaisaha? So he said there's rasa sarup, rasa vaisaha. The ultimate reality is rasa. So who is that? And Babaji answers in the Gopala Tapani, Upanishads, Purva Kanda. Gopavesham abhabham tarunam kalpa tulasritam satpundarik nayanam meghabham vayutabharam dvibhujam mona mudratyam vanamalinam ishram. So here's what it says. In the Gopal Tapani, his dress is like that of a cowherd boy. His eyes are like a fully blossomed white lotus. The hue of his body is blackish blue like a monsoon cloud. He wears a brilliant, effulgent yellow cloth. With his two graceful arms and hands, which are held in Jnana Mudra, the pose indicating divine knowledge, he holds his vamsi. His neck is beautiful with a garland of forest flowers that reach to his feet. And he is standing beneath the kalpa tree. That Sri Krishna is the Lord of all. Vrajanath, now I understand that Sri Krishna in his Nitya Siddha Sarup within the spiritual world is all powerful, the embodiment of rasa, rasa sarup, and the object of all rasa. He is unattainable through Brahmagyan. If one practices the eightfold system of yoga, one can only realize his partial manifestation as Paramatma. Nirvishesha Brahma is but the bodily luster of Sri Krishna, who is full of eternal spiritual qualities and is the worshipable Lord of all the worlds. However, we can find no means to attain him because of his inconceivable nature. Moreover, what means do human beings have apart from meditation? Whether one is a Brahmin or an untouchable, he does not have any means other than his mind. Therefore, it is very difficult to attain Sri Krishna's mercy. Babaji, it is said in the Katha Upanishads, tam atlastam ye nupashanti diras hesham shanti shashvati netaresham. Only the wise man who sees Paramatma within himself can achieve eternal peace. No one else can. Vajana, one may be able to attain eternal peace by constantly seeing it within oneself. Why, what is the process by which one can see it? It is difficult to understand. So now, okay, Krishna is God. Now how to see him, how to understand him. Babaji, it is said in the Katha Upanishads, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedayana Bahudakshitena Yamevasha Vinute Tena Labhyas Tashesha Atma Vinute Tenu Swam. One cannot attain Param Brahman, Paramatma, by lecturing, by intellect, or by the study of various shastras. He only reveals his transcendental form by his own mercy to one whom he himself accepts. So you can only understand God by the mercy of God. You can only understand any person by their mercy, what to speak of God. I mean, someone gave the example, there's gray powder and there's black powder, and it's very fine. This black powder and white powder, you'll see it as gray. The gray doesn't exist, but you'll see it as gray if it's very fine. So there's so many things which we can't perceive. And the one thing we can't perceive is a person's heart. And Rasa Vaisaha, if God is love, loving dealings, if he's a person, if he's a friend, if he's your lover, you can't perceive that without a relationship. You can't perceive it by analysis. So he only gives, you can only understand God when God chooses to reveal himself. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:29, Atapite deva padam bhujadvaya prasadale shanugrahita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahino Vachanyaneko picharam vichindvam. O Lord, one who attains even a little of your mercy, of your two lotus feet, can comprehend the essence of your transcendental glories. Others cannot realize the essential truth of yourself, even though they may keep searching for you for many years through Gyan and Vairagya. And that's Lord Brahma's realization, because he was so powerful, but he misunderstood Krishna. Then he became humbled by Krishna, and this was his realization. My son, my Prabhu, is very munificent. That Sri Krishna, who is the soul of all souls, cannot be obtained by reading or hearing various shastras or arguments and discussion, nor can he be obtained through sharp intelligence or by accepting several gurus. Only one who accepts him as my Krishna can attain him. He will only manifest his transcendental Satchitananda form to such a bhakta. When we analyze the Abhideya Tattva, you'll be able to understand these truths. So there's a whole subject of the means of bhakti, of how you realize God. So he said, we'll discuss this later. Vajanat, are the names of Krishna abode anywhere written in the Vedas? Babaji, yes, names such as Paravyoma, Brahma, Gopala, Puri, and Gokul are found in several places. For example, in the Svetashvatara Upanishads, it says, Vachokshari Parame Vyoman Yasmin Deva Hari Vishve Nishedu Yastan Naveda Kim Vachakarishyati Yarita Didushta Ime Samasate. One must know that infallible Akasha Brahma resides in the abode of Paravyoma. He is the subject matter of the mantras and the Rig Vedas, and all the devatas take shelter of him. One who does not know that Parma Purush cannot fulfill any purpose through the Vedas. However, one becomes blessed who realizes that Paramatma, in accordance with Tattva, it is said in the Mundaka Upanishads 2:27, Divye Brahmapure Yesha Vyomyatma Pratishta, that Paramatma eternally resides in the transcendental Brahmapuri, that is the form of Paravyoma. It is said in the Purusha Bodhini Shruti, Kokulakye Matra Mandale Diparshve Chandravali Radhi Kacha, in the area of Mathura called Gokula, Srimati Radhika is situated on one side of Bhagavan and Chandravali on the other. It is stated in the Gopala Tapani Upanishads, Tasham Madhye Sakshad Brahma Gopala Puri. Brahma Gopala Puri is situated in the middle of the group of the transcendental abodes. Rajanath, why do the Tantrika Brahmins call Shiva's potency Durga, Babaji? But we're going to finish today because this is such a lot to digest. So I'm afraid that let's just finish this section. Bear with me and then I'll stop for questions. The illusory potency Maya Shakti is called Shiva Shakti. This Maya has three modes, namely Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Brahmanas in the Sattvika mode worship Maya in a pure way as the form that embodies Sattvagun. Brahmanas in the Rajasika mode worship Maya in the form that embodies Rajagun. And the Brahmins in the Tamasa mode worship Maya in the presiding deity of Tamagun, taking ignorance to be knowledge. In fact, Maya Shakti is only a name for the distortion, vikara, of Bhagavan's Parashakti in the form of its shadow, Chaya. Is not a separate, independent Shakti. She is the sole cause of the Jiva's bondage and liberation. When the Jiva becomes opposed to Krishna, Maya punishes him by throwing him into worldly bondage. However, when the Jiva becomes favorable to Krishna, the same Maya manifests the Sattvika quality and gives him knowledge of Krishna. She then liberates him from worldly bondage and makes him qualify to attain love of Krishna. Consequently, the Jivas bound by the modes of Maya cannot see the pure form of Maya, that is the Sarup Shakti of Bhagavad, and they worship Maya alone as the primeval Shakti. So, when you're in Maya, you're influenced by Maya, and you can't actually see that Maya is just a shadow of Bhagavan. So you can't actually see the real substance, which is Bhagavan. And therefore, you worship the shadow as the Shakti alone, and not the Shaktiman, the source of that. The Jiva in the state of illusion can only realize these advanced philosophical truths by good fortune and the power of Sukriti. Otherwise, he remains in Mayika illusion, entangled in false conclusions, so that he remains bereft of real knowledge. Rajanath, in Gokula Upasana, Durga Devi has been described as one of Hari's associates. Who is this Durga of Gokula? To be discussed next week. Does anyone have any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I'm still here.
Okay, Gail. This is heavy stuff, but I think it's interesting.
Very fascinating, actually.
Yeah, especially, I think, but it's not for everyone.
Yeah, actually, if I could ask you to repeat. Is this repetition? You're saying how the different Shaktis, the three different Shaktis, manifest in the material world and how they manifest in the spiritual world. The material world, I think I got that. But can you just repeat how it manifests in the spiritual world, the Samvit, the Sandini?
It said the Samvit is the different relationships with Krishna. You know your relationship with Krishna.
Okay.
The Sandini is the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And the Ladini Shakti is the different grades of love of Godhead that you have within each relationship.
the different grades of love of Godhead.
Rasa, it's the prema. It's not just knowing that I am a friend of Krishna, but it's experiencing the heights of the love of that.
Yeah.
So the Sandini Shakti. So therefore, it says that when we want to realize our relationship with Krishna, there actually has to be a descent of the Sarup Shakti, the spiritual potency, in the form of Ladini, which and Samvit. In other words, we need a drop of that to awaken our understanding of what is our relationship with Krishna and to actually feel it. So Bhava, the level of Bhava is when the Samvit and Ladini Shakti descends on the consciousness.
Okay.
I'm also finding this very interesting, you know, and I think it's going to really get interesting from now on.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or other, I've bored people previously, just dropped off out of boredom. And now I'm only stuck with people who really paid the price. And now I can just speak about, we'll go into Raganuga Bhakti and everything. Okay. Great to see your daughter at the program. That was such a sweet program at Gopis, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I stayed there.
I know you stayed there. I know that, but it's such a nice program,
right?
No, but right?
The kirtan was really good last night. It was really, you know.
Oh, it was
all
so
the,
good.
All the leaders, you know, really led, like, really engaging.
Somehow or other. Even I felt empowered. I couldn't understand what was going on. And then Madhavi brought down the house, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, she has a powerful presence.
Oh, she's great. And her attitude of service now, you know. And I like what Kulpa Viksha said. You know, now you feel that the legacy continues when the youth take to it like that, you know.
She really did.
So nice. And his son, Sai Bhuj, was sitting for the whole thing in the kirtan, you
mm-hmm.
know. And it's
was
so
Madhavi
nice because I see.
I was wondering, Madhavi, was she doing kirtans like that before her kirtan connection graduation?
Probably not to that extent. No, not at all. I'm sure she's so smart. I'm sure she learned a lot how to do kirtan.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the graduation. She was the lead singer of all the people. She was like friends with people that were three times her age, four times her age sometimes. So it was great.
Yeah.
But what I like is I saw that community is growing in a nice way, you know. It's kind of people become fired up, then they get married, then they have children, then, you know, what are they going to do? You know, three, four children. Struggle through things, but now I'm so satisfied coming there that everyone seems to be coming up in Krishna consciousness, you know, and dancing, you know, it's so nice. I'm going to do another program there next month.
Okay.
Pretty soon, too. Okay. Okay, that's great.
But you have to speak more.
You know, those type of programs are not speaking programs. If I speak 5 or 5 minutes, it's good. Those are eating and kirtan programs. That's what those programs are. It's a different type, you know? And I also want to relax. I don't want to be on the stage all the time, you know? But, okay. Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna,
Gurumara. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay. We have this steady group now. It's almost like only the people from Jersey are qualified to hear the higher subjects. I don't know why that is. It's, you know, otherwise, people can call in from every place. People make fun of Jersey, but it's just like Krishna's life. Just like the living entities are lining up, the demigods are lining up to take birth in the material world, you know, because it's easy to get bhakti because it's so miserable here. You have to take shelter of Krishna. So maybe there's some correlation with New Jersey. I don't know why. But anyway. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? And Michael Tregno is sitting with me upstate. He drove me upstate. So he's also from Jersey. There's everybody. Only the whole world is listening, but three people from Jersey. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopi Kishore.
Where are you from, Gopi Kishore?
Sayreville, New Jersey.
Sayreville, New Jersey. I don't know what it is. People in New York don't want Love of Godhead? I can't understand.
Thanks so much for coming to the program yesterday.
That was so great. I'm thinking July 7th, but I'll have to confirm it, because that would probably fit. But I'll speak to you because I'll have two people with us and I'll be on my way someplace. So maybe we'll have to crash out there or something. But I think we can figure that out.
Okay, sure.
Okay, I'll let you know in a few days.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.